whatsoever will. Let him come.
You are listening to a message from Calvary Fellowship of Ottawa. For more information about our church, or more importantly, how to have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, please visit our website, calvaryottawa.ca. Now, if you're able, open your Bible for today's study. Come through the sun,
come by. Genesis chapter 18, and I want to draw your attention to verse 14. We're making our way through Genesis, and last week we made a big change. We have been going verse by verse, chapter by chapter through Genesis, those first 12 chapters, because they're rich and they're foundational and they're deep. And now we're going to pick up the pace, and we picked up the pace significantly. Actually more than I've ever picked up the pace in any book that I've done before teaching. And encouraged everybody last week to each day read one chapter out of Genesis. And so on Sunday we were all encouraged to read Genesis chapter 13, Monday chapter 14, and so on and so forth till today, which was Genesis chapter 19. And I want to encourage you, let's continue doing that as we go through Genesis. So tomorrow, we'll read Genesis chapter 20, and then on the holiday, Monday, Genesis chapter 21, so on and so forth, all the way till next Saturday, which will be Genesis chapter 26. And so just reading each one of those chapters. And then, so not only do you have that opportunity to read the Bible, you're encouraged to read the Bible on your own, chapter a day, but also since we know that everybody in the church is being encouraged to read those chapters, there's a real opportunity for some fellowship so that you can, you know, you run into somebody from church, you can say, hey, you know, did you read today? I read today. And wasn't that crazy? We read this and, you know, what, that's amazing. I read that and I never saw this before. I never saw that before, you know, that kind of thing. So there's that opportunity for fellowship. Also, I want you to know, you can ask me questions throughout the week. You just send me an email, you know, hey, I saw this, and yeah, this is pretty amazing, or what do you think about this? And, you know, you can send them by text message, you can send them by email. I may not get back to you, you know, right away. Sometimes you guys ask me really difficult questions, and it makes me think for a while, but I still want to hear them, and I want to know them, and I want to be, you know, as available and accessible as I can in encouraging you to get in God's Word. And to read it for yourself, and seek to understand for yourself, and grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And dig some roots. Be a tree planted by the rivers of living water that brings forth its fruit in the season. Leaf doesn't wither. Whatsoever you do prospers. You know, that's that meditating in God's Word. It's just spending time in the Bible. So there you go. That's my little pitch there. I want to encourage you. But tonight we're going to look at Genesis chapter 18, verse 14. And let's pray, and then we'll begin our study for the evening. Lord, we love you. We are so grateful to be a part of your kingdom. So grateful to have tasted your grace, to have been a recipient of your love. And Lord, to have the promise of more grace. And of more love. And of that work that you want to do in our hearts and our lives to make us more like Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, that's why we're here tonight. We're here with your word open up in front of us, surrounded by people that love you, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, we're asking humbly by your Spirit that you would do a miracle tonight. That you would make these words jump off the page and into our hearts and change us. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis chapter 18, verse 14. God is talking to Abraham, and he says, "Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah will have a son." The Lord is in this statement, making a very specific promise to Abraham. One that you'll read fulfilled on Monday, if you read it. You'll see the promise will be fulfilled on Monday when you read Genesis chapter 1. But in making this promise, the Lord asked Abraham a question. He says, is anything too hard for the Lord? That word hard there could also be translated wonderful. And so it could be, is anything too wonderful for the Lord? And it's a question that's actually answered in the question. Because he's the Lord. Nothing's too hard for him. Well, what's the purpose of the question? Well, the purpose of the question is to draw out their faith. It's really this appeal to their mind, to their logic, to their rationality to say, listen, who are you dealing with here? You're dealing with the Lord. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? I'm going to open up her womb. I know it was barren before, and now she's 90 years old, and the ability to have children was never really there. There was never any kids, and now it's long gone. The way of women is gone, but I'm going to do something here. Is there anything that's too hard for me? The Lord. Later on, the word of the Lord will come to the prophet Jeremiah, recorded for us in Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 27. He says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? And the answer is, no. No, it can't be. You're the Lord. Jesus, again, years later, coming on the scene, and he says, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. These are statements, these are questions that appeal, again, to the mind, to the ration, to the logic, to say, listen, who are you dealing with here? You're dealing with the Lord, and there's nothing that's impossible for him. And it really just awakens our faith. It really increases our faith. It says, oh yeah, you know, that's the Lord. He could do that. He could totally do that. Now, what's interesting to me about this question is who he's saying it to. He's talking to Abraham, who the Bible calls the father of faith. And He's directed his question to Abraham, but it's meant for the person that's hiding behind the tent door overhearing the whole conversation, Sarah, his wife. And so as you read the verses around it, what you find is that the Lord makes this promise to Abraham, hey, your wife's going to have a son. Sarah's going to have a son. No, not somebody in your household. Sarah's going to have a son. And I know she's 90 years old. She's going to have a son. And she's overhearing this conversation, you know, just outside the tent. She's there by the door flap. And she chuckles to herself. She laughs to herself. She goes, as if. That's basically what she's saying. If I bring it into Canadian culture, as if. Now, when I'm 90, this is going to happen. And the Lord goes, why did Sarah laugh? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Hey, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to come back in a year, and there's going to be a boy. And it's going to be Sarah's. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. Again, meant to draw out their faith. Now, we have to, when we read something like this, we have to pause, we have to think, we have to reflect, we have to look at our own hearts, we have to look at our own minds, we have to just ask ourselves, hey, is there anything in my life where I think it's too hard for the Lord? It's too wonderful for the Lord. He can't do that. It's too big. Now, if you're Abraham or Sarah, this question is not asked in a church service on a Saturday night in Ottawa. This question is in Canaan. This is a question that is posed to a man and a woman who have left everything to follow the voice of God into a land that they don't know. They left their family, they left their household, they left their city, they left their hometown, they left their social network, all that they left behind, and they journeyed. They journeyed as homeless people, as sojourners, as travelers into a land they didn't know. These are people that have faith. These are people that have acted on faith. That's a huge step of faith for anybody. Abraham is a man of faith. He's a woman of faith. These are spiritual people. Now, you remember last week, chapter 12. This is a woman who got, because of her faith in God and her submission to her husband, she ended up in Pharaoh's harem. You remember this? And the Lord shut the harem down, got her out of there, exonerated her, embarrassed her husband, blessed her husband all at the same time, and they had sent him back into Canaan. This is not some worldly person. These are people of faith. And the Lord says this question to him. He says, listen, is there anything too hard for me? And we think about that and we go, shut the entire harem down. Like, if that happened in one of our lives, I mean, that'd be good for life. We'd be good for life. We would sell the book. We'd go on the TV shows. We'd be guest bloggers. I mean, that would be it. That would be it for us. You're like, that's amazing. But think about this for a second. That's in their past. And the Lord is saying to them, listen, is there anything too hard for me? Drawing them out to something further. You get to chapter 13. This is a man so blessed by God that the land can't support them. They got too many critters, too many servants, too many investments, too many female donkeys, too many female goats, too many female sheep, too many female chickens, too many female cows. It's overtaken the land. They got to split up. You got to remember that from last week. You don't know what I'm talking about. Go back and listen. Female, big deal, last week. So, listen, so this guy is so blessed that he has to split. And he, this is a man of faith. This is a spiritual person. He gives his nephew the pick. Says, wherever you want to go, we'll separate. Wherever you want to go, you pick. I'll go the opposite one. And Abraham, Lot chooses, you know, he chooses down there near Sodom, the verdant field for himself. And then Abraham takes the high hills, you know, where there's not any green grass. He goes, well, we'll just trust the Lord. Let's go on up here. This is the land God's given us. He's blessed us all this. He didn't bring us this far to drop us off. Let's just go on up. And so God blesses him. This is a spiritual man. This is a man with faith. Hey, God's going to bless. Let's trust the Lord. Then you get to chapter 14. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible. I just want to say, it was very difficult to pick a text this week because of this chapter, chapter 14. Chapter 14 makes me want to run around the room. It's so exciting. I love this chapter. And I'm going to punch it down into like four sentences, which is just going to kill me, but hopefully it'll bless you. So listen, this is a man who chased down four kings and their armies and whooped the snot out of them with 318 people that worked for him. He chased down four kings and their armies and defeated them with the 318 people that worked for him. There's just 318 that worked. I don't know who left and stayed with the stuff, but he had 318 people working for him that went to war and won. And when he defeated the four kings and took all their stuff, by default, the way that tournaments work, he also defeated the five kings that lived around him that the four kings had just defeated. All right, let's just go ahead and connect all the dots. Abraham is incredibly wealthy and incredibly powerful. There's not a king around that goes, I think I'll take my army over there and take Abraham's stuff. There's not one. When he defeated those four kings, he became the king of kings. And he, by default, took ownership and authority of all of the area of all of those nine. Is that not mind-blowing? Now, lest you start to think that he's not a spiritual person, not a man of faith, not a person that knows God. As he's coming back with all the stuff, he meets Melchizedek. And Melchizedek is a priest of God Most High. His name means King of Righteousness. And we find out that he's a king, and he's the king of Salem, which we think might be Jerusalem. Anyway, Melchizedek comes out to meet him, and Abraham gives him a tenth of all of the plunder. He tithes to him, and basically in that thing he's saying, I recognize that this all came from God. This was a response of God's blessing on my life. If that happened to any one of us, right? Like, that's your life right there. Yet, the Lord is talking to that guy, and he's saying, is anything too hard for me? I'm going to draw your faith out even more. You're following me with this, right? You're seeing that Abraham's a man of faith. Abraham's a spiritual person. These are spiritual people. These are people that are living on dependence upon God. And he's still saying, he's still calling them out into something greater. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Love that chapter. Chapter 15, the Lord makes a covenant with Abraham. And he does it in a way that Abraham can understand. And Abraham has the joy and the privilege of seeing the Lord sign the covenant by a flaming, smoking fire pot and a flaming torch. That's pretty cool. He's having all these experiences with the Lord. The Lord is regularly in Abraham's life, talking to him, making deals with him and agreements with him and promises to him. Chapter 16, Abraham makes a massive mistake. Sarah's in there with him. You're like, well, Andy, you know, how does that look? Well, it looks, the people of faith, spiritual people, blessed by God people to the point that God even goes and cleans up their mistakes. Goes and chases down Hagar, shows up to Hagar. This is amazing. Shows up to Hagar. The only reason he shows up to Hagar is because of Abraham. Shows up to Hagar, calls her by name, which the Bible commentators, their minds are blown that he calls her by name. The respect and the tenderness and the gentleness that he gives her. Calls her by name, makes some promises to her family, to her offspring. She's the product of somebody that's been taken advantage of. These are spiritual people. These are people of faith. These are people that God is at work in their lives. And he says to him, is anything too hard for me? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Then you get to chapter 17. Abraham, as a sign of the covenant, circumcises every male in his household. He does it on the very same day that the Lord talks to him. He's a better man than me. I'd have prayed about it for a couple of days. I'd have sought the Lord. Yeah, I'm going to need a confirmation here. It says two or three witnesses. I'm going for three. My brother, when he was teaching through this passage, he said, you know, just imagine you're one of Abraham's household. You know, you're one of those 318 guys. And, you know, you hear, hey, boss man's been hearing from God again. He's got another visit from the Lord. Wonder what we're going to do this time. He's called us all up to the tent. What are we going to do this time? Who are we going to go beat? Whose land are we taking over? We're going to Egypt? What are we going to see? Abraham comes out of the tent. Listen, guys, there's going to be some cuts around here. Abraham is a spiritual man. He's a man of faith and an effective leader. Effective leader, respected leader. Listen, Abraham and Sarah, it's Abraham and Sarah that are there living in a tent in Canaan, showing hospitality to these three visitors. that the Lord is talking to. Consider this for a moment. The Lord is there. He's there. And he's talking to Abraham. He showed up at Abraham's door and he's talking to him. He showed up at Abraham's door and he is supping with him. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Abraham has this glorious privilege of having the Lord at his home and having a conversation with the Lord, and the Lord there to say to him, Abraham, is there anything too hard for the Lord? These are people of faith. These are spiritual people. These are people that are living a spiritual life. They're living the life that is abundant, the life that is full of life. And the Lord is saying, listen, you haven't seen nothing yet. Yeah, but I'm talking to you. You're here at my door. I'm supping with you. Yeah, listen, you haven't seen anything yet. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Just after this question's asked, latter half of chapter 18, the Lord discloses to Abraham how he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham, by faith, Abraham begins to intercede for the city. And he appeals in his prayer to the Lord, in his appeal to the prayer, his intercession is based on believing that God is fair, that he's just. And he says this amazing line, will not the Lord of all the earth do what is right? Will not the judge of all the earth do right? He intercedes for the city based on the presence of righteous people. He has his own brother, he has his own nephew in mind, Lot. He has his nephew Lot in mind. He's not begging. He's not whining, he's not giving ultimatums, he's not complaining, he's not petitioning, or he's petitioning based in faith, based on the character of God, based on the justice of God, his fairness. And it's that response of faith. Nothing is impossible for God. Even the possibility of a change in what he's planning to do. Heavy. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Here's the point. The Lord is communicating to Abraham and Sarah, and he's saying, I know there's been incredible moments on this journey, but you need to be open. We're not done. There's more. You need to trust me more. You need to be open to the possibility of the impossible. I want to do something amazing. I need you to trust me. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? It's going to happen a year from now. Nothing is impossible for God. Now, that message may specifically be for you tonight. You may be, you know, one of these people that has had incredible moments with the Lord, and you may have a closed womb. And the Lord might want to do a miracle in your life, that a year from now you'd have a baby. He could choose to do that. He could choose to do that right now. He could just do it. But I'm guessing that most of you guys are like me, and you're not really into that for yourself or for your wife. You're not really keen on that. And so there's a different application here in the passage that I want you to see that I think all of us can relate to specifically. Go down with me, chapter 19, and look at verse 29. Look at this. Chapter 19, verse 29. Sodom and Gomorrah has been destroyed. And the scripture says here, it says, so it was that when God destroyed the cities of the valley, God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had lived. You see, Andy, what are you doing? What are you talking about? The way this verse is phrased, it's meant to tell us that Lot and his two daughters were rescued from Sodom because the Lord remembered Abraham. What do you mean? God moved in Lot's life and in Lot's daughters' lives, his family's life, because of what he was doing in Abraham's life. Let me say this a different way. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Maybe the Lord wants to do something amazing in your relatives' lives or in your relatives' relatives' lives because of what he's doing in your life. Is anything too hard or too wonderful for the Lord? Andy, could he do that? Well, go back and read the story of Lot. He sent two angels in there to grab him by the hand and take him out before the destruction. Now, you need to see, just briefly, what kind of situation Lot was in. And in a real sense, this whole flow of the story from Genesis chapter 13 through chapter 19, this is a comparison of what was going on in Abraham's life and what was going on in Lot's life. And the comparison is very striking because there's a pattern, there's a distinct pattern. The same events happen in the same stories, in side by side. You say, Andy, what are you talking about? Here. It starts with them both being so blessed that the land can't support them. Lot chooses by sight the verdant, blessed land, the best for himself, and ends up living down there near Sodom. Abraham chooses what's left, what was best for the other. He chooses less for himself, ends up with the hills, no city, but he gets God. Okay, that's how it starts off. The next thing that happens is Lot is captured in the defeat of Sodom and carried off. And then Abraham captures and defeats the conquerors of Sodom and carries them off. That's a pretty striking comparison. Then the Lord visits Abraham and two angels visit Lot. Abraham hurries around and prepares a meal for them to eat. Lot hurries them out of the square into a meal that the only thing we know they ate was unleavened bread. Abraham's wife bakes the bread. Lot bakes the bread. Abraham's wife laughs at the promise of the Lord. Lot's sons-in-law laugh at the promise of the Lord. Interesting, isn't it? It just goes on and on through the story. Sarah is humbled by the rebuke, but receives a son. Lot's wife is turned into a pillar of salt. Abraham intercedes on behalf of Lot. Lot begs and intercedes on behalf of himself. Abraham's household all gets involved to serve the guest. All of Lot's neighbors get involved to abuse the guests. Abraham's sons are blessed. Lot's daughters are ashamed. Bruce Waltke comments here, and he says, Lot tries to be a blessing, but instead appears as a bungler and a buffoon. He fails as a host, as a citizen, as a husband, as a father. He wants to protect his guests, but he needs to be protected by them. He tries to save his family, and they think he's joking. He's afraid to journey to the mountains, and he pleads for a little town, but he's afraid of the town, and he flees to the mountains. His salvation depends on God's mercy and on Abraham's blessing. Here's the point. Abraham in the scriptures is a type of a spiritual person, a person of faith, a man of faith. Sarah is the same. There might be momentary weaknesses, there might be some failures, there might be some mistakes, but God's blessing is evident and obvious in their lives. Lot serves as a type of the worldly Christian, the carnal Christian. The one that has too much of Jesus to be accepted in the world and happy with the world, and too much of the world to be happy in Jesus. He thinks he has the best of both worlds. He thinks he has the best of faith and the best of the earth's blessings. But he ends up with nothing. Lot comes into Sodom incredibly wealthy. He leaves Sodom with the clothes on his back and his daughters. Two daughters. One of the things I found incredibly interesting is the two angels ask him, "Do you have anybody else here in the house? Sons, sons-in-laws, daughter-in-laws? Do you have anybody else in the house here?" They knew. They knew who was attached to him. Why did they ask? They asked because it's an embarrassment. Meanwhile, Abraham's got 318 men going whooping up kings in his household. He escapes with his life. His legacy is the product of incest. His daughters, no doubt, tremendously impacted by the culture of Sodom. Listen, here's the truth. You may be able to handle it. Your children will not. What's tolerated in moderation in one generation is accepted in excess in the following generation. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away. Sodom is a type of what's going to happen to the earth with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Listen, let's be people of faith. Let's be spiritual people. Let's be people that recognize that blessing comes from the Lord. It doesn't come from being cozy with the world. It comes from being with the Lord. It comes from relationship with the Lord. And His blessing extends all through our lives. Is anything too hard for the Lord? His blessing even includes touching and rescuing and helping and aiding and blessing our relatives' relatives. Let's intercede for them by faith, like Abraham did. I don't know where you're at tonight. Here's what I do know. The Bible says very clearly, anyone, absolutely anyone, no matter what they've done right, no matter what they've done wrong, no matter who they are, no matter what family they grew up in, no matter how psychologically messed up they are, no matter how emotionally bankrupt they are, no matter how physically messed up they are, no matter what they look like, no matter what they smell like, no matter what they dress like, no matter where they live or don't live, it doesn't matter, any of those things, absolutely anyone, anyone can receive the blessings of Abraham. They can live a blessed life like Abraham, who had the Lord appear to him, who supped with the Lord, who had an intimate relationship with God, whose blessing was on every part of his life. Anybody can have that blessing through faith in Abraham's offspring, Jesus Christ. If you will tonight put your faith and your trust that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for your sins and was rose from the dead on the third day and lives forever, if you'll put your faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible says he will forgive you of your sins and you will enter into the blessing of God that was on Abraham. Oh, run, don't walk. Run, don't walk. Oh, you should do it for yourself. But listen, you should do it for your family. Anybody can enter that blessing. You can do that tonight. It's a simple prayer. Lord, forgive me of my sin. Receive me into your family. I want to be in your family. I'm opening the door of my heart. Come in and sup with me. I want to know you, and I want you to know me completely. I think many of us are Christians here tonight, and some of us may have chosen some place that looks blessed to go hang out. And we're picking for ourselves, and we're being a bit selfish about the whole thing. And man, this text just serves as a warning. Just serves as a warning. Be careful. Careful with the world. Careful with the world. It's better to be persecuted with the people of God up in the hills than down in the valley getting muddy. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate. That word for separate is holy. Be holy. And touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you. And I will be a father to you. Listen, that is what you need. You need God to be a father to you. That's your problem. Your problem is you need God to be a father to you. And the way you get that is by rejecting what you're involved in now. Sin, worldliness, and compromise. Come out from among them and be ye separate. And I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord. Therefore, my beloved, since we have these promises, let's go for it. Let's go for it. So a couple applications. If you're not a Christian, you need to be a Christian tonight. If you're a worldly Christian or a carnal Christian, hey, you need to get things right with Jesus. And you may need to ask him for some help. Lord, I need help to cut off some relationships. Lord, I need help to find a new place to live. Lord, I need help to find a new job. Lord, I need help to find a way out of this mess that I'm in. I need help. I'm in a pig trough and I need help. Will you help me? He'll help you. And if he tells you to do something, you got to do like Abraham. Do it that day. Do it that day. Another application. Third application. Some of us need to hear that word from the Lord. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And you need to take that and you need to apply that. Relatives, relatives. Holy smoke. Relatives, relatives. Apply that. By faith. Lord, what do you want to do? I believe you can do anything. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, you have challenged us afresh. Lord, that you're more than enough. Your grace is sufficient. And that you want to do something that is exceedingly, abundantly above all that we could ever ask or imagine. Lord, forgive us. Some of us have doubted you. Some of us have laughed to ourselves that you could do something so incredible, so wonderful. Lord, some of us have been playing with the world. Some of us are living in Sodom. Some of us are trying to climb the ladder in Sodom and be important in Sodom, be accepted by Sodom. Lord, we're in desperate need of your grace. Thank you for the fresh reminder of your love, your provision, of your faithfulness. Bless us in Jesus' name. Fill us afresh with your Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Come to the Father. Come through the Son. Come by Spirit. Find freedom.
Thanks for listening. We hope this message has helped you to walk closer to the Lord. If you'd like to get in touch with us, please contact us through our website, calvaryottawa.ca. May the Lord richly bless you. Yeah.